Unlock a new era in podcasting with Unfiltered Studios. Ready to break free from the ordinary? Dive into a world where authenticity meets innovation. Our network isn't just about podcasts. It's a revolution. From nostalgia to movies, sports to self-improvement, find your favorite podcast in an array of diverse shows, only at Unfiltered Studios. Join the movement. Subscribe to Unfiltered Studios today and join the podcasting revolution. Unfiltered Studios, where every voice finds its place. Visit unfpod.com today to find your favorite show.
Unfiltered Studios will help you press record.
And hello, movie lovers. And welcome to our Twister review. I have Rossi with me. She's going to be chasing some tornadoes with me and everything. We're going to be listening to some Van Halen. We're going to go down into an F5 tornado. There's going to be cows coming at us. She's going to be on her cell phone talking to her patient. But it's going to be all good in there because I'm going to have Helen Hunt next to me. I'm going to get back together with her. And so here we are. We're going to discuss about our favorite Twister, and I'm your host, and also your well traveler who's chasing tornadoes into the heart of the storm of one of the most thrilling disaster movies of the 90s. So sit back, buckle your seatbelts, get your Dodge truck, and let's go on ahead. Let's review Twister.
Right.
And hey, Rossi, how are you?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm doing good. Doing real good.
Nice.
So,
yes.
When you think of Twister, what do you think about? I mean, when did you first see Twister? How did you find out about Twister? Where were you at this time?
Let's see. I saw Twister maybe as soon as it came out on video. So I think it came out in 96, was it, or something like that?
Yeah, 1996.
Okay, so as soon as it came out on video, I couldn't wait to see it. I wasn't able to go see it in the theater, but this was one movie that I wanted to see. Who doesn't find weather systems just the most amazing thing that you can ever witness? And thank God I've never, you know, have been in a Twister, but I've come close. And I was just telling John about that. And it was just the most frightening situation ever. I remember being anxious and panicked and thought that our home was going to fly away like Dorothy in The Wizard of Oz. And it didn't happen. I'm here, but still frightening. Great movie, though.
Yes, definitely a great movie. This was released on May 10th of 1996, and also, too, I want to mention this, a few months later, we actually had Independence Day with Will Smith in it.
Right.
But for me, as far as my nostalgia goes, as far as me seeing this film, I was in fifth grade, and I was going into the fifth grade, and it was in the summertime, I was in Boston, my brother and I and my father went on ahead and seen Twister, and next thing you know, it's been the hit of the school. Whenever I got back, got back into Mississippi, and everybody's talking about Twister. Everybody's like, have you seen Twister? No, I haven't seen Twister. Have you? Yeah. And we were just picking up the whole entire time. Oh, we got cows. And, you know, just us quoting the movie and just talking about the fact that this giant tornado and the special effects and the while this is tornadoes happening, there's The Shining happening on the screen. We went into the whole entire deal. And then also, too, we also had a class where they actually taught us what to do in a tornado. And it doesn't mean ball up in a ball and then kiss your ass goodbye in the hallway. But basically, they taught us how to prepare for a tornado and also, too, how to prepare for a tornado if you're in a trailer or anything like that, too. So we had a little bit of a safety kind of thing with the environment types of thing. But yeah, that's where I am at my nostalgia whenever I'm thinking about this movie.
When you first saw it, what did you think? Just that opening scene alone.
The opening scene alone got me glued in, especially when we see Helen. We'll get into it, but when you see Helen Hunt and she's just looking at this giant ass tornado and her father being swiped away from this tornado, it just haunts her for the rest of her life and it gives you goosebumps. And the special effects for the tornado at the time was fantastic. It was different, and And we're going to get into this as well, but with the cast and everything, I just fell in love with everything.
Right. Yeah, I was a huge Helen Hunt fan at the time. And a lot of the actors in the film, I mean, they were you know, became or were big deals at that time. And Helen Hunt was like, that was the headliner. And I think she had her show on called Mad About You, I think it was called. Anyway, she was a big deal. She had ended up doing a film with the guy from The Shining.
Yeah, Jack Nicholson. A year later, she did it As Good As It Gets.
As Good As It Gets, right. So she was a big deal. And she's a great actress, too. I mean, she plays Panicked quite well. And Bill Paxton, of course, you know, everyone knows who Bill Paxton is, but I thought he was perfect for the film. That opening sequence, though, when, you know, the panic of the tornado hitting and the family running through the house. And like you said, that's a young, what was her name? Jo in the film. Helen Hunt's character was Jo. She had to be about 5 or 6 years old. But like John was saying, what got me was I hadn't seen the film in so long. So watching it this morning, I forgot that the dad, you know, that he gets taken away, you know, by that tornado. So, yeah, it definitely affected her in her life.
Most definitely.
Yeah.
So I know you have the budget for this film.
I do have the budget for the film. So they had spent, they spent $92 million on the film. They end up making $495.7 million. And they were second, like John mentioned, Will Smith's Independence Day was out, and they came in second after Independence Day, which was a really big deal.
Yeah, it definitely was a big deal for them, because this is like a big, huge box office hit for them.
Yes, it is.
For you to come in the middle of the summertime to kick off the summer with a tornado movie.
Yeah, right.
And it knocked it out of the park. People are raving about it. It made their money back from it at that time with $195.7 million.
Right.
$88 to $92 million budget. That's just fantastic. And that's not including worldwide box office.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, I think that one thing about the movie is I love how, like you said, they had their one-liners, but they were always able to keep you're on a roller coaster, just up and down and chasing this storm that she's been wanting to chase the F5, and they didn't have one. And so the fact that how Bill, you know, Bill comes back into her life, because he's going to get married. They're getting a divorce. She's not signing the paperwork. I wasn't thinking that he was going to be going along with them until, you know, they showed him Dorothy.
Right. And, you know, okay, so let's just dive into it, and then we'll get into the other stuff, what the critics say towards the end of it. But, you know, I forgot that this whole entire setup happens, because I thought initially that all what happens is Braun meddling in there with Paxton and also to... of course, Helen Hunt, Joe's character. I thought we were already gonna get them right off the bat. But no, I forget that Bill and her are actually separated.
Right,
and he's trying to marry this other one, marry his fiance. And you can definitely tell that this guy is just settling for somebody. She doesn't even know the girl's name, because even Joe goes, "Who's her name?" Dad. I'm like, yeah, you were dumb.
She's like Melissa. It's Melissa. Her name's Melissa.
But you know what I was thinking though, Rossi? I'm like, there has to be another way for them to sign the divorce papers. I mean, come on, you can get someone to serve the divorce papers. You're going there because you know you have feelings for Joe.
Absolutely.
And you want to show Joe up with your new girlfriend, fiance.
Right.
And I think that she's also luring him in a sense, because she knows that he's after the storm too. So she's trying to be as hard as she can get. It's like, I'm not interested, but you really are interested.
Oh, she was happy to see him. And that's the thing is that, you know, at that part, you don't even know that they're, you know, separated. You don't know the situation, because when she walks up to him, and everyone's happy to see him. So he's a very popular guy. Everyone loves Bill. So when Joe sees him and she's like, well, hey, Bill. There was no animosity, no nothing, until you realize it's been a year. It's been a year he sent those papers to her, and she refuses to sign the papers because obviously there's unfinished business done. And like John said, Melissa, his new fiance, you know, it's just a get me over, you know, just.
Yeah.
Yeah.
She's just a rebound.
Thank you. And a rebound.
My thing is this. I think that this separation was probably about maybe 3 or 4 months. Or 6 months. I don't think they were separated that long before he got with Melissa. So it's like, they wind up getting engaged, they buy a new truck, and then they go on this whole entire deal with Joe, and she meets, I like how we have the introduction to all the people, though, to all the storm chasers.
Right.
I thought being introduced into, you know, Philip, I know I said his name before.
Philip Seymour Hoffman.
Yes, thank you. Philip Seymour Hoffman's character as Dusty.
Right.
You have Sean Wellen as Sanders.
Right.
Alan Ruck as Rabbit. I mean, come on. You have a great cast.
It's a great cast. Funny.
Yes. And you can definitely tell that they're in tune with each other to chase the storm and try and do research for Thor with Dorothy and stuff.
Right.
And I like, all of a sudden it's like, well, we got to go. There's a storm happening. And then I like how Melissa goes, what's going on? We got to go.
Poor girl. I mean, she's thinking she's going there. And I remember she looks at him. It's like, you know, get her to sign that paperwork, you know, so we can get out of here.
Right.
She's not thinking that this is going to happen. And just to let you guys know, Dorothy is, I'm going to tell you what it is. So it's a digital, orthographic telemeter. So it shares the same counterparts as Dorothy, atmospheric pressure, dew point temperature, satellite comm link on pulse Doppler radar. So this is something that was Bill's idea. And he had left, you know, obviously they separated. He left, he came back, and they show him, you know, hey, we got Dorothy. And he's so excited because this is what these people do. And when you're a storm chaser, I mean, that you have to have the love for a storm to do what they do, because it's absolutely dangerous. So when he sees that and sees what she's done with it, I remember him looking back at Melissa, and, you know, he's like, you know, they're like, well, happy to have you back. And he tells everyone, you know, I'm not back, you know?
Right.
And that's the joke. Everyone's nice to have you back, Bill. I'm not back. And then he ends up being back, because once that storm, they get that storm, it's like you have that itch in you, like you just gotta go and do it. So
that adrenaline's in you, you're ready.
Oh my gosh, absolutely. And so Melissa's response to that, poor girl doesn't know what this actually is.
No, and I like how she goes into this thing. She goes, when you said you chased tornadoes, I thought you were talking about the fact that on a psychology level, a spiritual sense, that you chase tornadoes.
Right.
No, I chase tornadoes.
Right. Right. And she was cool enough to go with. I mean, she went with.
Yeah, because any other woman would be like, fuck that, I'm out of here.
Yeah, with your ex.
Right.
You know, what about the paperwork? Like, you know.
But I think on the other hand, I think Melissa's like, well, okay, we'll go on this one storm chase just to get the papers done, and we're out. That's it. We'll get Dorothy, whatever the fuck Dorothy is, because I'm not here for Dorothy. We'll go on ahead, we'll get that done, and, you know, and then we'll go into then we'll go about our way. You go your way, we go our way, we don't entwine anymore.
Right.
And then she winds up finding out that they're going on for more than just one adventure.
Yeah. One storm leads to another storm, and they're chasing that one storm. And just, you know, I like the fact that what they're doing, it is really important, because, you know, they mentioned that if they can get this machine and have the little balls, the little sensors to go up into the tornado, they'll be able to read, you know, and be able to give you more advanced warnings when a tornado comes. Because at that time, they only had 3 seconds. Three seconds was the warning at that time. And with their machine, it would give you at least, what was it, 15 minutes?
Yeah, 15 minutes.
15 minutes. And so that's plenty of time to be able to go to your bunker, shelter, you know, and get out of there. So it's really important what they're doing. But Joe's reasoning behind it, you know, it's like she's chasing her father, like she's trying to fix what happened, you know. So she becomes this storm chaser. And she started doing that at a very early age. Because her friend, Meg mentioned that, you know, like, you've been doing this since you were a girl. Yeah.
And, you know, it was everything to try and bring her father back.
Right.
To, and even Bill brings that up, though, too, later on, you know. But I like this whole entire thing of where you wind up seeing, you know, you see along the way, you see Bill encounters Jonas Miller, a rival storm chaser and former colleague with the corporate funding who stole Bill's idea for a door.
Right.
Like device, which is more, this is more of your Weather Channel before it was Weather Channel.
Yes, absolutely. Yes.
People actually have production. They have things together.
Yes.
Meanwhile, you have a rustic can called Dorothy on the outside. You have all these loud people. And right. You have these professional guys have their stuff together.
Right. Nice vehicles. Everything's, you know, computerized in the vehicles. They have nice cameras, right. Like everything to win and stole the man's idea, Bill's idea, but made it better, you know?
Right.
And so, yeah, competing against that, against these rogue chasers. You know, yeah, that was obviously you don't like the new guys, but the rogue chasers, the way that they did things, it was exciting because it was always fun.
Yeah. And also, too, another thing that I thought was really funny was while this is going on, I like the Lone Ranger theme song going on, too.
Right.
And then you also have them having Van Halen, having rock music on the other end.
Yes.
This intertwine of like AM, FM radio kind of deal
yes.
with it.
Yes.
Because that's who their characters are. And then you have Melissa in the back talking to a patient about their penis. And that
that's right. That's she right.
Goes,
that's right.
She goes, look, I promise you, she didn't leave you because of your penis or anything. And then you had that. And then of course, you know, they run into some trouble with the truck and everything because of what happened with the tornado because of Joe. Because remember, Joe's truck gets destroyed.
Yes. Yes, it gets caught in the line of the tornado. And that scene alone, just to let you know, the very first scene of how that happened, I thought that was great. But that scene alone, when the tornado hits and they're underneath the overpass and they're under there, and just it seems so real. Like it's like you could feel the wind, like you can see everything. And then when it hits her truck and totally ruins her truck, being that I haven't seen the movie in so long, like you're feeling, it's like, oh my gosh, what are they going to do now? Because every time they get close to this tornado to, you know, try to get Dorothy in the eye of it, something goes wrong. But the graphics were so good. The tornado was done so well.
And it's still, I'll be honest with you, it still gives me goosebumps, especially whenever that tractor comes at you.
Yes.
Too.
Yes.
I'm like, oh my, I was like, is she going to make it out of this thing alive? What's
right.
going to happen? You know, and then especially how close they come to death.
You know, how many times?
Like 5 or 6 times, I think.
Oh my god! The tanker truck.
Yeah, the tanker truck.
Them going through that. The house when they had the. I thought that was an awesome scene too. I love that he was like,
"Me too.
We're going.
We're just gonna go through the. We're just gonna go through the house." And then I like how Seymour Huffman's character just goes, "Did you see that? There's a house in the middle of the road." Yeah, we went through it.
Yeah. It was a great scene.
It was. And then you also had that other part where basically Joe's truck, like I said, is caught in a ditch. And then
right.
it gets picked up. And then she goes, "Where's my truck?" All of a sudden it just lands in front of
right,
Melissa.
Right. Right. I also love how the part where Meg, the older lady who's like a grandma to Joe, when that storm hits her town and they're like, oh my gosh, and they go to the house
and you know
pulling her out of the house, and her the little comments that she, you know, would make, you know what I mean, I'll be okay, I'm fine, you know, it's nothing big, it's, you know, I mean, just
like this happens all the time, you know?
Yeah, like it's not a big deal, you know, she's bleeding, you know, she's buried at the bottom of the house, and they go in and get her, and just that panic that Joe has because she loves this woman. But how funny that character was as well.
Oh, I loved her character, especially when you get first introduced to her Aunt Meg.
Right.
So, because remember, all the guys are like, look, we need to eat.
Right.
So they eat. And I like the look that Joe looks over. First, Bill looks over to Joe. And he's like, how you doing? And the next thing you know, he's like, she's about to jump in the shower. Meanwhile, and he just looks back and Melissa's like, I'm stuck here.
Poor Melissa, dude. Poor Melissa.
Right. Because he knows he's settling. The dude knows he's settling. So
yes.
She goes upstairs, takes a shower. But I also like how basically Aunt Meg basically knows all these guys from the past. But also,
yes.
too, gives Melissa a little insight. Hey, look, these guys are not just in it just for the sake of being in it.
Right.
They're all the way in it. And you can't pull them out of it no matter which way you go about it. These are
right.
who they are.
To the point to where when they hear that there's a storm coming and they all, you know, gather everything, they're running out. And Melissa's standing next to Aunt Meg, and she's like, run, honey, run, go catch up with them. Like, you gotta go, you know, like, right. This is what they do. You need to keep up with them. And the fact that she went along with that, but also knowing secretly, like, these two people have something still, they're still in love with each other. I mean, she knows that, exactly. You know, but maybe hopeful that they'll still be getting married, you know, but at a certain point, remember, she's like, you know, I know what's going on. And I'm just, and after she almost dies and sees her right. man die, you know, it's a very stressful job. Right. It has to and be.
I want to talk about that though, too, where basically I like how you have that drive-in theater.
Yes.
And you have the Shining playing.
Yes. Right.
And I know I talked about it a little bit at the intro or whatever, but I like how you have something that's so horrifying on the screen. And then your life is just, and then you're just being entertained by this horror movie. And then all right, of a sudden you right. see the storm happen. And now you're now terrified
right.
of something that's actually real. And now it's time to go for cover. And then especially when they take refuge in this shop.
Yeah.
And then they get out of it. They get out of it alive. And Melissa's like, oh, was that just a small one? What's going on? And the guy's like, no, we were just lucky.
Right, right. That's when she pretty much was
yeah,
like,
was
I can't. I mean, that was the scariest moment, you know, because that the signs are coming down. There's wires coming down. You know, the cars are like landing mm-hmm. on top of the building. And that part there, like she was just like scared. Like, I can't do this. Like, this is just not the life for me. So I'm happy right. that she bowed out because he's in it. He's already fallen in love with his ex. You know, right. they're already, you know, little things are happening anyways. And this is what he wants to do. And plus, remember, they still got to get Dorothy in the center of that storm.
Right. And therefore, you're right. Melissa would have been in there. She wouldn't. I'm sorry, but that woman would actually need a psychiatrist by the time
Absolutely.
She was done.
Yes.
Because yes. she's. And I like how that subtleness at the air, at the at that scene, though, where she's like, look. He goes, look, I'm just going to go in and hang back over here. Well, I'm going to go on ahead. I'll see you back at the hotel. He goes, no, right. I won't be back at the hotel when you get back. She goes, I know you want to go, so go. And he goes, I'm sorry, I didn't mean for this to happen like this.
Right.
He goes, it's okay. I'm fine with it. It's the way it's supposed to happen.
Yeah.
And she goes, I don't even know why I'm okay with it. But he goes on ahead, goes out, and now he's full throttle. He's right. back to being the Wild Bill.
Right. I think relieved mm-hmm. that now I can just go and do this because he had to be concerned with her, making sure she's okay. Joe's fine. This is what Joe does. He doesn't have to watch over her like that, but he is responsible for Melissa. So I think once she leaves, yeah, he's all in it. Like, let's go and get this storm so we can get this data in there. But the scene where they are chasing that one storm where they're, you know, they can see that the other group, the elite group, is also chasing that storm. How yeah. stupid was he to not listen? I mean, how arrogant was he?
It's just ego. It's like, I want to be
crazy.
There first before anyone else.
Right. And your driver's like, shouldn't we listen to him? And Bill's like telling him, this is not personal. Like, I can see this. It's coming right for you. And he's just gonna unhook the machine, turn the radio off basically, and then you see them flying.
The outcome of it, you see first, you see like an antenna that just goes right through him.
Oh, that's right.
It hits him head on, so he didn't
right.
feel anything. And then
right.
the strike gets taken, and then
right.
he's gone.
Yeah,
and I'm like, well, so much for you. But
and Joe was like, listen, you tried to warn him, he didn't listen. No, nothing
That's
we can do
problem.
About it.
Right. Our job is to go ahead and get Dorothy.
Right.
So I like the fact that there's no really real villain in this movie. It's just basically
it's
an
just
ego
a tornado.
Thing. Right, exactly. But I definitely like that whole entire thing, but I also like how Bill talks to Joe though. It's like, look, this is not going to bring your father back.
Yeah.
This is not going to.
Yeah.
Anything you do and everything you do is not going to bring your father back. It's still going
right.
to be the same thing. This tornado does not have beef with you. It made me think of Jaws: The Revenge, the second one where the
okay.
shark follows the main character.
Oh yeah.
I'm like, wait, this there's never tornadoes, Joe. This is not the same one that took your father. So you don't have to worry about that.
And remember, that's when Melissa overheard them on the radio. And I'm like, oh my gosh, please don't say anything else. Please don't say anything else. And then he says, what about, I'm here. I'm right here in front of you. And that's when Melissa knew, like, aw, damn.
That's strike one. Strike one.
Yeah, it's, yeah, we're, I'm almost out of here.
Right, exactly.
But she stayed.
But you're right, though. It was definitely an ego thing with those other researchers and stuff and trying to warn him. And then we finally get the climax of it, where basically when we said I like the whole entire oil tank, whenever it ends up coming up and they ride through it, it almost makes me feel like I'm actually on a Universal Studio ride.
Yeah, right.
Basically, everyone's just coming at you a full thrust.
Yes,
and that's exactly how it was on the big screen for me.
Okay,
watching it in the theater, it was like ooh ah, and I'm over there dodging as a kid. Like, my brother's just like looking at me. I'm like, what? He's like, what are you doing? I said, I'm trying to dodge the stuff that's on the screen. This is not even 3D. This is just like 2D. And here I am. So
that's
it was just that much thrilling. I'm always the one who winds up sitting in the center of the theater. I don't like sitting on the ends. I like having the center seat.
Absolutely. Yeah.
And everything. And that's my go-to. And it's still my. And I like to have the experience of like moving around. I'm like, ooh.
And speaking of that scene, you know, you doing the left right remember when she's calling out, you know, like she's calling McCray, and it's like, you know, one of those, you know, driving courses, you know, one left, two right, and then you have like the John Deere, you know, lawnmowers coming at him. I mean, and she dodges that, and tractors. I mean, like I said, the film was a ride. I mean, there never was a point where you could just be settled, because the approach they took was, you're also chasing the storm as well.
Right.
You know, and you get to a point where you really want Dorothy to get in there. And every time it didn't happen, I know for me, I was so disappointed. Like, damn it. Why do you guys keep messing up? Get her in the storm already so you can read it. And it's just, it was that good, especially when they finally was in a cornfield and finally happened, right? And they end up having to escape the tornado. So they run through the cornfield, go through the barn, you know, and that whole scene, and that the storm absolutely chasing them was so cool. And I wanted to mention, like, the CGI, can we just mention that really quick? The CGI, just a second, get my notes here. Okay, so the CGI was done by Industrial Light and Magic. It's a company that was founded by George Lucas in 1975. It's in the Bay Area. And so they were responsible for making sure that this tornado was a tornado, because people know what a tornado looks like. So this for them was one of the hardest jobs that they had to do, because they had to make sure, because we know what it looks like, that it looks like it. And they did a great job with the CGI. And going back to the scene where they're at the movie theater, one thing I loved is when the tornado hits the screen, it breaks up in pieces, but you see the film, The Shining, still being played as it breaks up into pieces. I thought that was really cool.
And I like the whole scary aspect of the fact that there's a tornado and you can't see it, and it's in the dark.
Yeah, yeah.
And that makes it even more eerie to the fact that, you know, you're just enjoying a movie and then something dark and unknown is out there just to rip you apart.
Right.
You don't even know it.
Yeah.
And also to... Aunt Meg also had those little, you know, like instruments outside.
Yeah, that's right.
So I was thinking to myself, was she a storm chaser herself in a younger life? What was the deal with that? Was it just some signals that alerted her that there's actually a tornado coming?
Right.
So it made me have a little bit of an insight of like, okay, this woman knows that some shit's going to go down.
Right. Or just the fact that, because this movie was shot in Oklahoma as well. So maybe it was just something that she had there because she lives in Oklahoma and they have tornadoes.
True.
You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. That's actually understandable then. Yeah. That makes more sense, because I was thinking, okay, maybe this woman, I was actually going to bring her own origin story. I was writing up for a prequel. You know?
Right.
So that's what I was thinking in my head. But I do want to mention this, too. like the original concept and 10-page tornado chaser story were presented to Albin Entertainment in 1992, written by Jeffrey Hilton under the title Catch the Wind. Steven Spielberg was intrigued by the idea and presented the concept to winner Michael Crichton and his wife Anne Mary Martin were paid a reported $2.5 million to write the screenplay, which made Twister the single most expensive screenplay ever written at the time.
Wow. Yep.
And get this, Spielberg himself was originally attached to direct the project, and directors such as James Cameron, John Badham, and Robert Zemeckis were also in talks to film the film before Jan D. Bonnet signed on to Twister after leaving Godzilla due to creative differences.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Very interesting.
What do you think about Spielberg and everything too?
I was shocked when I was watching the credits and I saw his name come up as a producer. I didn't know, and I was like, oh my God, this is Steven Spielberg. Okay, no wonder it's you know, also got some meat to it. You know what I mean?
He's
a part of this, which is awesome, because if he's a part of a film like this, obviously he believes in this film. This is going to be a good film. There's money behind this film. But yeah, I was intrigued. I didn't know until I saw saw the credits. And it was he and his partner, Kathleen. Yeah. Kathleen Kennedy. Kathleen Kennedy. Yes, they were both attached to this film. Didn't they write or executive produce? But she was along for the ride with him in this film. And she was with him when they went and found the Industrial Light and Magic company to help make the CGI for the tornado.
Yep. And you know what else? This is the crazy thing, too. Tim Burton was also attached to direct this movie.
Really?
Yeah, but I'm like, yeah, Tim, I love you, but I can just imagine this would be a total different movie of him being gothic.
Right.
At that time. And
What term would it make?
It would definitely be different. So, yeah, Tim is definitely not right there for this film.
Right.
But Kathleen Kennedy also produced like Star Wars and stuff like that.
Yes.
She still does a lot of production with that.
Okay.
But yeah, some people actually don't know this though, but some people actually just put the producer's name just for the sake of having the producer's name on there. It's like, hey, Steven, yeah, we're going to pay you $5 million or $2.5 million just to slap your name on there. Is that okay? Yeah, that's cool. Yeah. And that's it. But with this though, you can tell that his fingerprints was on this.
Right.
Especially after doing Jurassic Park and all that stuff.
Right.
You can definitely tell his fingerprints was on this. And also, too, the special effects also look like something that Steven would do. And, of course, the production company that he found.
And the tornado itself. I mean, like, the tornado is a character in itself. Mm-hmm. So to have such a monstrous character, you know, it is kind of scary. So it makes sense that Stephen King would be a part of this.
Steven Spielberg.
You know what I mean? Yeah. Or Steven Spielberg. Oh my gosh. Stephen King, you know. Steven Spielberg. Well, my bad, guys. My bad.
It's okay. We got mixed up with the whole entire Shining.
Yeah, I'm thinking Stephen King, but yeah. Let's take that out. Regardless though, the tornado was a freaking monster. It was a beast, and it was referred to the beast in the film. Steven Spielberg though.
Yes.
Don't make that into a short.
Don't worry, I won't.
Yeah, wink, wink.
You're right. I'm kidding. But I do have one other thing to mention, though. Now, you know how I mentioned my friends love this film? Audiences love this. Critics, not so much. Roger Ebert gave the film a 2.5 stars out of 4 and wrote, "You want a loud, dumb, skillful, escapist entertainment? Twister works. You want to think twice about seeing it." And the New York Times, Janet Muslin wrote, "Somehow Twister stays on an up-tempo and exuberant as a roller coaster ride, neatly avoiding the idea of real danger." And Henry Weekly gave the film a B rating, and Lisa
Schwartzbaum.
Thank you. I got tongue-tied.
I know.
Go on ahead. Read that. Read
okay. Schwartzbaum wrote, "Yet the images that lingered... the images that lingered longest in my memory are," though, was there more?
Yeah, hold on once.
Would you go ahead and finish that for me then? I don't have the whole.
Yeah, not a problem. Teamwork.
Okay.
and let's see. Let's see here. Yet the image of the lingered longest in my memory are those of the windows of livestock. And that in a teacup sums up everything that's right and wrong about this astonishingly noisy and but ultimately fly away first blockbuster of summer. So that's what she had to say about it. But I disagree with everything that they said. It's just a fun popcorn flick. You just go ahead, you're entertained.
Yeah, it's like I said, it's a roller coaster ride. And it was perfect for the summertime at that time as well. So I thought they did a great job. I thought the movie was really good. I thought the acting was great. I mean, it was really good. Now, there obviously, you know, there were some parts where I was looking up some notes about the film. And they were saying that certain parts of them trying to escape the tornado, obviously not going to happen. You know, you're not outrunning a tornado. So obviously that's not real, but this is Hollywood and this is a movie and this is what movies are for. Okay. Some things are just unreal, but it's good in a movie. Also, the movie was filmed primarily in Oklahoma and Los Angeles. Several scenes were filmed in downtown Oklahoma City. Other locations in the state included Chickasha, El Reno, Orkark, Midwest City, Yukon, and Cashon. And also, the movie was inspired by the work of real life storm chasers at the NSSL and incorporate accurate tornado tracking technology. So they based it off of real life storm chasers, which that's is awesome if they do as well. I think that's, you've seen those, haven't you? Those videos of those storm chasers.
Yeah, I really have.
Yeah.
You can definitely tell that Philip Seymour Hoffman was one of those guys that was basically in that. You know what I'm saying? You can definitely tell he was dialed into this character.
Oh, absolutely. Yes. Yes, he was. He's so great.
This is what I love, though, okay? I actually have this quote down. So this is back when Melissa is actually trying to find out why do they call him the why Billy is called the Extreme.
Okay.
So Jason basically says, Bill is the most out of control son of a bitch in the game. Bill. No, I don't. No. I think I came in second. Dustin. So we get this one near Dalton, right? Rabbit. Oh, God. You guys have just got to get some new stories. I'm going to go wash up. And then this is also, too. This is my favorite part. And we are way too close, and Joe got the vivid of the right. She's filming it. And all of a sudden, out of nowhere, the shitty-looking green Valiant comes pulling up right in the way. And this loser stumbles out of the car. He's got like a bottle of Jack Daniels in his hand. He's naked. He's butt naked. Naked. Not naked. I was not naked. That's what Bill says. And then he says he was without apparel. Half naked.
Also, trivia. Yeah, no, yeah. Oh, go ahead. I'm sorry.
But no, this is where he goes. And he just strolls out of the Twister, says, have a drink. And he chucks the bottle to the Twister and never hits the ground. So that's the... that's the little quote style.
John loves his quotes.
Sorry.
It's okay. Let's see. So goofs. So around 38 minutes, when Bill says the tornado is about to shift directions to the left, he and Joe are driving side by side with Jonas. Bill hits his brakes and Jonas's team passes him completely. When Bill puts the truck into reverse and starts backing up, Jonas' team passes him again. So that was a goof, okay? Also, gosh, dude, also, I didn't even know, but Bill Paxton, it says here, after Bill Paxton died in 2017, rest in peace, Spotter Network choreographed 200 storm chasers to spell out BP with their GPS tracker Blitz on a radar display to honor him.
Now that's awesome.
Isn't that awesome?
That storm chasers still honor Bill. Now I'm calling him Bill. that's pretty cool that they actually honor him that way, you know?
Right. And it was the first time that it had been done for someone. They never done that. So I thought that was really cool. And oh, the other quote, Melissa, I gotta go. Julia, we got cows. You said that earlier.
I love that one.
Right. Yeah, that's goodness. And the soundtrack. Tallulah?
Yeah,
BT's Tornado Mix, written by Tori Amos, performed by Tori Amos, courtesy of Atlantic Recording Group. So, just another fun fact, you know, just little facts for you guys.
Right, and also too, we also have Van Halen on the soundtrack for for Human Beings. Is also we also have Stevie Nicks on here.
Wow, plays. Yeah, that's right. That's right.
I mean, come on, this is a fantastic soundtrack.
Right.
You know, you can't go wrong with this. I mean, come on, we have the list just goes on. I mean, I'm just geeked out over at what the soundtrack. But yeah, but definitely for me, this is a film that still holds a place in my heart and still pulls at my. As an adult, though, too. So, yeah.
I was happy to watch it again.
Me too.
I hadn't seen it in years. And, you know, watching it again, it was like, oh, my gosh. You get into it, and it's like, oh, I remember why I liked this film. This was really good. So it was a fun watch for the second time.
You know what? I haven't seen this movie in years either, since I was probably in fifth grade.
Right.
So it was a good revisit for me.
Absolutely.
To be able to have that nostalgia of geeking out with my friends and just having memories of that. And, you know, they are coming out with the sequel this summer called Twisters. Now, this is not going to be connected in with anything with the original characters or anything like that. This is just going to be a fresh take on a different Storm Chasers, which I think is fine. You don't need to you can have a different story because there's different Storm Chasers.
Right. They've had more than one earthquake type of film.
Right. So why not have a sequel to Twisters and have... different Storm Chasers. So I think
Exactly. I'm going to watch it, of course. I want to see it.
I am too. I'm definitely going to go. So, and on the 17th, we actually have Zoe from the Backlog Cinema podcast. We also have Beth from the Made for a Movie TV podcast. And we are going to be doing a review on The Breakfast Club. It just turned 40 years old. So this is going to be the 40th anniversary review. As a matter of fact, I didn't time it like that. It just so happens to be it got timed like that. So. Awesome. We're going to be doing that on the 17th of April, 8 o'clock Central Time, 9 o'clock Eastern Time, 6 o'clock p.m. Pacific Standard Time. Tomorrow, I will be doing a review on King Kong, the Godzilla King Kong movie that just got released at the movie theater.
Okay.
Because I just want to see it. But yeah.
Huh? Okay.
Yeah. So I'm going to go see that tomorrow and and watch some Monsters Fight.
Right.
So...
It's going to be good. Can't wait to see your review for that, John.
I can't wait to check this out and watch that. So always until next time, guys. Have a great and safe night. Thank you again, Rossi, for joining me. I do appreciate that.
Thank you.
I always have fun doing these reviews with you.
We have a great time. Sorry, guys. We laugh a lot, I know.
Yes, we do. I'm a big dork. So, yeah.
Same.
All right, guys. Later. Take it easy. Bye.